All right, tonight we have Brother Munoz with us, and he is going to come and tell us about his ministry, and then he's going to preach for us. And so let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome as he comes.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here. And I see the camera man right there. I tell my wife, if I was not going to be a missionary, I would love to be. I like landscaping, but thinking about it, probably I'll be a cameraman in this church. I mean, that's an awesome job. But I appreciate it, Pastor. Thank you for the welcome and the friendliness. I appreciate that. In a minute or two, we're going to show a video presentation of our ministry in Mexico. Yes, we are in Mexico. Mexico needs more missionaries. We've been in Mexico since 2001, and I am not Filipino. But like Paul says, I am all to all, so I have the feeling this church is going to take us on, so yes, I'm Filipino, amen? But I don't know have you ever been in Mexico, but we love tacos, we love burritos in Mexico, and one of the things that keeps us in Mexico is the Lord and the tacos, amen? I love Mexican food. In the video, one of the things that you're not going to see and I forgot to put is that we have a Christian school. And my wife gets mad at that. Hey, how come you didn't put the Christian school? So next time I'll try to have the Christian school there. But we also have an RU program on Fridays that we run since probably 2021, 2022. But we also have three mission churches that you're going to see in the video. And just recently, we had another mission church planted in Puebla. And Puebla is one of the largest cities in the country of Mexico. We are 7,000 feet above the sea level, and we love it there. And if you are able to come to Puebla, we would love to have you there. At the end of the service, if you can grab one of our prayer cards, and it has a little more information in the back, and you can sign up to our prayer letter. And also, you can get to have this good-looking family in your fridge or wherever you want. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and show the video. Thank you.
Hi, we're the Munoz family, missionaries in Mexico since 1999 and in the city of Puebla since the year 2001. My name is Arturo Munoz and I graduated from Oklahoma Baptist College in 1998. This is my wife Nicole and we got married in 1999 and now we have seven children. This is our son Japheth, then is Rachel, then is Sarah. Rachel and Sarah recently made a CD, and the name of the CD is In His Presence. Rachel wrote the music and the words. Then is our son David. Then is Hannah. David and Hannah are twins. Then Ashley. And at the end is Caitlin. The city of Puebla is the fourth largest city in the country of Mexico. If you were to drive from Laredo, Texas, it would take you 15 hours to get to Puebla. The city of Puebla is surrounded by four volcanoes. One of them is active. The city of Puebla has 1.5 million people. All of those souls still need to be reached. Each year, our city celebrates the Battle of Cinco de Mayo. This battle happened back in the year of 1862. And our church takes this opportunity to take 20,000 tracks every time during the parade of Cinco de Mayo. Praise the Lord, many of these people read the tracks and get saved. But I want to go back to the beginning in the year 2001 when we first went to Puebla and see what God has done through our ministry.
Nadie
But why do we need more missionaries in Mexico? Well, violence is growing, and many of them are dying on their way to hell without having the opportunity to hear the gospel. Why do we need more missionaries in Mexico? Because the Bible says in John 4:35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." Since the beginning, when we first arrived in the city of Puebla, we held our first missions conference. We believe in missions, and right now our church supports 40 missionaries around the world. In the year 2008, we started our Bible Institute. Since then, we have graduated 14 men and women that are now serving God. Five of them are now pastors in Mexico. Each year, during the Day of the Dead, we go out on November 2nd and we give out more than 20,000 tracts on the city's cemeteries. Praise the Lord, we have seen many people getting saved during this time of the year. Every Saturday, a group of about 40 people, we gather together and we go out soul winning and tell people about Christ. Our vision is to start 20 churches in our city. Praise the Lord, we have started 3 mission churches in the city of Puebla. Our first mission church is Liberty Baptist Church that right now is being led by Brother Eric Dominguez. Our second mission is being pastored by Brother Arturo Mendoza. And the third mission church is being pastored by Brother Christian Ruiz. It is our desire to start more churches in the city of Puebla. Please pray that God will allow us to start more churches and witness to more people. We know that God can do a great work here in Puebla. We covet your prayers. Please pray for the Munoz family. Thank you very much.
Amen, Puebla. I love Puebla. And our sending church is Emmanuel Baptist Church, Pastor Bob Gray. He was just here about a month ago, 2 months ago, and he is our pastor. And please go with me to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And Acts chapter 3, verse 1, I would like to speak to you about we can make a difference. We can make a difference. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and read to verse 7. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that we still are able to go out and reach souls. And help us, Lord, to be able to make a difference. Make a difference one person at a time. Help us, Lord, to make a difference through prayer and make a difference through even giving. And thank you, Lord, for this church. And just give us a burden, Lord, for souls around the world. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what we are seeing. We're seeing people saved, people coming also on buses. And it's exciting, Lord, to see a church working together. Help us, Lord, to keep making a difference. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine this man that the Bible is talking about. The Bible says in a chapter or two later that this man was 40 years of age. He was 40 years old. But I want you to imagine how what was maybe going through his mind, because this man, he had to get up early in the morning and seek for help. And maybe that morning he was pretty discouraged. I don't know about you, but if you would not be able to walk for many, many years, 40 years, you would be very discouraged. When I turned 49, I'm 49, September 20th, Pastor, it's my birthday. I'm turning 50, write it down. But when I turned 49, I remember as soon as I turned 49, everything hurt. Amen? And I was like, wow, 49 and everything hurts. I should have skipped all the way to 50, but you can't do that, obviously. But this man, he was 40 years of age, 40 years old, and he, I would say, he was very, very discouraged. And probably that morning, he was thinking, I don't want to go back to the temple. A lot of people used to go in those days to the temple. It was a place of gathering. It was a place of where people would go and even sell stuff. And this man, he's like, okay, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to the temple. He got ready that morning. His friends stopped and picked him up, literally. They took him to the temple. The Bible says he was taken to the temple daily. So one more time, another day, this man was carried to the temple and sitting there by one of the gates. The name of the gate was beautiful. He was had a specific place and a specific gate. He liked that gate. And seeing all these people coming and going to the temple, and at the ninth hour, just happens to be that Peter and John were going to the temple and they were going to pray. The Bible doesn't say what they were going to pray for. Jews had certain times of prayer in the morning, in the evening, at night that they would go and pray. Maybe they were going to pray for more souls. A chapter before, the Bible says that 3,000 people got saved and baptized. And maybe they were just going to the temple, praising God and saying, Lord, thank you that we were able to see 3,000 people getting saved and baptized. Wouldn't you be excited if God gave us 3,000 people in one day? So they were excited. They were going to the temple, and this man was sitting there by the gate asking for alms. And when Peter and John stopped, maybe they were talking, maybe they were distracted, probably they had not seen this man that was sitting right there by the gate. Now remember, Peter and John and the disciples and the Christians would be walking through these doors all the time. This man sat there all the time. And sometimes, all the time, we miss to see people because we see people all the time. And Peter and John, they probably knew him by name. We don't know. But this man said, excuse me, can you give me some money, some coins? We see that a little more in Mexico. In some corners in Mexico, in our street, in our city, we would see people asking for money all the time. And he was asking for money. He thought a church is a good place to get money from people that go to church. But Peter and John were stopped, were interrupted on their way to the temple, and they stopped and saw this man asking for alms. And this man had his hand forth, and Peter said, hey, look at me, look at us. And this man thought, oh, man, good. When people say, look at us, surely this man has a lot of money. And when he saw it was Peter and John, maybe he got a little discouraged. I don't know. But Peter said, you know what? Every time we come to church, we try not to bring money like some of you. Amen. So he's like, I don't have money, but what I have, I give you. And he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He healed this man, but I also believed that this man got saved. Now, I think we need to make a difference. We need to make a difference. And I think one of the ways that we can make a difference is praying for the lost. Praying for the lost. Peter and John, they were going to the temple to pray. Jude 1:22, you know this Bible verse, and some have compassion, making a difference, making a difference. Think about that, making a difference. Who wouldn't want to make a difference? Do you know a lot of people, even if they are not Christians, people around us, they want to make a difference. Some people go to work at a specific places or jobs because they think they can make a difference. They want to make an impact in this world. 2021 Gallup survey found out that 80% of U.S. employees said that having a job with a positive impact is very important to them. So people in their jobs, they want to make a difference. People in school, they want to make a difference. People protesting for something, they want to make a difference. How can we make a difference? You know how? One person at a time. We can make a difference one person at a time. And we can make a difference praying for the lost. The early church was a church that prayed. The early Christians were Christians that prayed for the lost. Romans 10, look with me, Romans 10, verse 1, just a few pages ahead of this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be," say it with me, "saved." Paul, he's like, my desire and my prayer is that Israel might be saved. Might be saved. About 6 weeks ago, we had a staff retreat back in our church. At the end of the staff retreat, someone said, "Pastor, if we have these goals," because you're supposed to have goals on those retreats, amen? "If we have these goals to reach more people, if we want to see more people saved, shouldn't we pray for souls?" I said, "Of course." Then he said, "Well, then, what's the plan?" I said, "Well, we need to pray for souls." He said, "Yeah, but what's the plan?" I said, "Well, what do you mean, what's the plan?" He's like, "Yeah, you know," and we had about 16 people on this retreat, and he said, "If we, each one of us, pray, or two of us in our group, as a staff, we pray every day for souls, don't you think God is going to do something?" And I said, "Of course he is." So he's like, "So what should we do?" I'm like, "Okay, I know where you're going. Okay, let's do this. Who can pray on Mondays for souls?" And some of the staff members put their hands up. And on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, my wife and I are praying on Sunday. And we left that retreat pretty excited. About 2 weeks later, or I think it was the following Saturday, normally, after COVID, we were having 20, 30 people, sometimes even 40 people going out. So when in that Saturday, after we started praying for more souls, we had almost 50 going out. I thought, that's pretty cool. All we started doing was praying for more souls. That Sunday, the following day, we had 18 visitors in our church. And for the first time, without having any special promotions or tacos, chuy, or tamales, or piñatas, for the first time, without any promotion, we had over 200 people in our church. Actually, we had 215 people in our church. And that made Pastor Munoz very, very excited. And we had people saved. We had 6 or 7 people got saved that Sunday morning. We had one or two baptisms. The following Sunday, Again, we had over 200 people in our church. Normally, our average was 175, 180, but two Sundays with over 200, that is exciting. The following Sunday, we had over 200 people again. The following Sunday, the first Sunday, we had 199 people. I don't want to exaggerate things, but we had 199, but one of our ladies in our church is pregnant. So that makes it 200, amen? So for the last four Sundays, we've had over 200 people in our church, which is incredible. Praise the Lord. You know how that happens? I believe, and I told my wife, I believe because we are praying. We are praying for souls, and we need to pray for more souls. Prayer makes a difference. If we're going to make a difference in this world, we need to pray. If we are going to make a difference in this community, we need to pray. If we want to make a difference in this town, in Long Beach, California, we need to pray. We need to pray for God's power. We need to pray for God's direction. We need to pray for God to help us to lead someone to the Lord anytime, every time that we can. Probably one of the largest churches in Mexico, in the world, but probably one of the largest independent Baptist churches is the church that Pastor Kevin Wynn, missionary in Mexico City, pastors. Probably 20,000 people in church every Sunday. It's incredible. It's amazing. But one of the things that I've heard him saying is this, that he prays every day for Mexico City. He prays for souls. He prays for God's power. He prays for that the church can make an impact. And he prays specifically for people to get saved. If we want to make a difference, you know what we need to start doing? We need to go back to the basics of just praying for the lost. And I don't know what Peter and John were doing or going to do, but as they were going to the temple and as they met this man, which we don't know his name, one day we're gonna know, amen? Maybe his name was Arturo. That's a beautiful name, amen? That's a nice ring there. But as they were walking to the temple, this man stops them and says, hey, can you give me some alms? Imagine if Peter said, you know what, you are just kind of like wasting our time. We have something important to do. But what was that important thing to do if maybe they were praying for the lost? And this man was actually lost. If we want to make a difference, number one, I think we need to pray for the lost. But if we want to make a difference, I think that we need to pay attention to where the lost are. We need to pay a little more attention because we see people every day, and because we see people every day, somehow we just stop seeing people, seeing the lost. How many times have you looked for your glasses and you asked your wife, where are my glasses? And she's like, you have them on your head, right? Or do you have them on you, actually? Why? Because we see things all the time that we just stop seeing what we see all the time. Where are our kids? Or where is this? Or where is that? This man, he was sitting there every day for years and years. And he had to stop them, Peter and John. And you know what? They were interrupted. I think that there are probably two ways on how we lead someone to Christ. One is when we are interrupted. When someone crosses our path and talks to us, or maybe we go to the gas station and we buy a Mega Millions ticket, man, and as they give us the ticket, we pray, and then we forget to give them a track. You were just interrupted, but you missed your opportunity to invite someone to church. So one of the ways I think that we need to pay more attention is being when we are interrupted. Peter and John, Peter didn't say, you know what, at around the eighth hour, I'm going to stop at your house. We're going to go to Starbucks. And after that, we are going to lead that man, Arturo, to the Lord. What do you think? And John is like, oh, yeah, we've seen him for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and he needs to get saved. And yes, but first the coffee. And after that, we'll just go straight to him. No, they weren't thinking about Arturo, this guy. They were just going to the temple to pray. But they were interrupted. But the other thing I think that we can lead people to the Lord is being intentional. And I think we have stopped being intentional. We have stopped recognizing the responsibility that we have as Christians to share the gospel. And it's not anything. It's not a simple thing, although the gospel is simple on how we can get saved, but it's not something that we can ignore. It's one of the most amazing things that has happened in your life, getting saved, and we can share the gospel with someone else. Now, I am a missionary, and but I have one of our daughter Sarah. She's in Bible college, and just last week one of the reasons for our trip was because we took 3 of our kids to Bible college at GSBC, but one of our daughters, Sarah, she has a heart for souls. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes she says, Dad, look, one time we stopped in front of a gas station and I went in and I went back and I saw a man that was Hispanic and God said, hey, why don't you give him a track? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give him a track. And I went inside the van and Sarah went in and all of her kids went in. And you know, as all of the kids, you start counting kids and to make sure you don't leave them in the middle of New Mexico stranded. And then I forgot about this man. But then Sarah's like, hey, Dad. She doesn't only says, hey, there's someone there that needs a gospel track. She is like, here's a track. Go and tell him. I'm like, hey, wait, don't do that to me. I am the missionary. But okay, it's fine. Maybe God is using you. Amen. So I take the track and I go to this man and I shared the gospel and he was Hispanic and all that. And praise the Lord. But sometimes we forget about being intentional. I would encourage you to be more intentional because, you know, when Jesus came to save us, he was intentional. He was intentional in the fact that he was willing to die on the cross. He was intentional in the fact that he was willing to give his life and do all that for you and for me. And we stop being intentional because we just get wrapped around this world and work and internet and Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and Lady Gaga and Peso Pluma. No. Peso Pluma, yeah, I think, I don't know him, but I think it's Peso Pluma and Taylor Swift, and we get wrapped up around the world that we stop about being intentional. I need to be more intentional, and I need to pray for more for the lost, but if we're going to make a difference, we need to pray, and we need to pay more attention. Someone said, and I always get this quote messed up, but someone said, people don't want to hear how much you know. They want to know how much you care. Something like that. And yes, we can tell them, hey, I know about Jesus. I know about salvation. I know about this and that. But many times we just need to be kinder to people. We need to stretch our hand and help the community and just be a little more like Christians. Amen. And that's what Peter did when he stopped. The Bible says that he put his hand forth. Read with me. Back in Acts chapter 3 and verse 7. And he took him by the right hand. And then it says, lifted him up. So he didn't stop and say, this man, what can we get? What can our church get from this man? He doesn't have any money. He looks like, he's dirty. He is not a businessman. He is not rich. He is just going to be a burden for our church. But he cared for him. He cared for him. And probably the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, you need to do something for him. I can help you with my power to heal him and save him. And I think he was directed by God to stop. And he was interrupted. And he was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to heal him, not in my name, in the name of Jesus. And then the Bible says that he took him by the right hand. And not many people, I think, that had touched this man. Nobody, not a lot of people would be walking by and give him like, hey, it's going to be okay. Keep on going and cheer up. No, not, maybe not a lot of people, but Peter was willing to touch him. And then he had faith that when he picked him up, he didn't say, hey, how are you feeling? How are your legs? Do you feel something? Do you feel God something doing something in your knees? And because you've been like this for 40 years. He just had faith that God was going to do something. And he lifted him up. And the Bible says immediately. You know why immediately? Because salvation is immediate. Amen. Salvation is an event. Salvation is not a process. Salvation wasn't like, okay, let me stretch your right leg, and now your left leg, and your hips, and your arms. And after 30 minutes, to slowly get up. He jumped, he leaped, and then he went on to the temple inside and praising God. And it was something amazing. Nothing short of amazing. Salvation is amazing, amen. Imagine this man in the morning, a few hours before that, this was around 3 p.m., but imagine in the morning, 8, 9, 10 a.m., he was discouraged and thinking, okay, I have to go back to that temple, and no one pays attention, but praise the Lord, someone paid attention. So, after he got healed, the word spread. It was a viral, real video. Because maybe you don't know what it is, but this became viral. Everybody in Jerusalem knew who this guy Arturo, who he was. And maybe when they were making tortillas, because in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the Bible says, well, don't listen to that. But maybe two ladies that were making tortillas, and they were throwing the tortillas in the air, and then one said, did you hear that guy by the gate got healed? And he, do you remember his attitude, or maybe he was someone that always spoke, really had a bad language, but people knew that God did something in his life, and now everybody knew what happened, and they said, well, then let's stop making their tortillas, and let's go and see if it is true. So they all gather at one of the porches of the temple at a huge place, Solomon's porch, and thousands upon thousands were there at this place. And probably John said to Peter, hey, why don't you preach? And one another way that we can make a difference, I think, is preaching God's word. Preaching God's word. And Peter said, okay, Lord, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. And he just started preaching. And go with me, and I'm skipping a lot of Bible verses, but let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 3. Acts chapter 4 and verse 3, and they lay hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. So they were in jail for a whole night, for it was now eventide. Verse 4, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So how many people got saved that day? When Peter would have never imagined that that specific day he was going to see so many people getting saved. Chapter 2, they saw 3,000 people. Chapter 3, 1. And chapter 4, 5,000. And sometimes we go through this stage right here, 1. Probably during COVID, we didn't see a lot of people saved. We saw 3,000. But maybe for a while, we only saw 1. But guess what? If we make a difference in 1, we can make a difference in 5,000 people. If God leads you to reach only 1, maybe that 1 will be the next evangelist, the next pastor, the next youth pastor, the next missionary in Mexico or Brazil or Peru or Cambodia or somewhere else in the world. Maybe that next kid that you lead to the Lord through the bus route will be the next bus captain, bus worker, go to a Bible institute. You just never know. But we cannot stop and judge people and be like, what can I get from that guy, Arturo. We are pretty judgmental, amen? Very judgmental. We judge everybody, and then we see a mirror, and then we judge ourselves, and we get discouraged, and we have a pity fest, right? Trying to think in Spanish, English. But Peter never imagined that day that 5,000 people were going to get saved. You know how it happened? Because he was paying attention. He was interrupted. They were on their way to pray, and he felt God leading him, saying, hey, there is one man that you can talk to him, lead him to Christ, and God did the rest. May God help us to make a difference with just one. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Lord, help us to be able to see that man right outside the doors of the temple, right outside the doors of the church. Because as soon as we cross those doors, we are entering into the mission field. And help us, Lord, to have that heart and that empathy, and also help us to have that intentionality to look around and see that this world still needs the gospel. Help us, Lord, to do our best and use us in any way. Help us, Lord, to keep on sharing the gospel. Forgive us that many times we just had stopped paying attention. Help us to make a difference. And with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I'm going to just ask Pastor to continue.